Would you and I consider it a great sign if all of a sudden this great giant planet, five times larger than the Earth, 100 times greater in density than the Earth, and its gravitational pull brought with it meteorites, and all of a sudden they crashed into the Earth, broke down when they hit the atmosphere, but set 1/3 of the green grass and the forest on fire? That would explain where all this is coming from in Revelation chapter 8. And then asteroid, which are rocks, drug along with it, colliding with planet Earth, even though the planet X, or the 10th planet, did not touch planet Earth. It's very important that we understand, drop down to verse 25 and 26 of Luke chapter 21. There shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Why? Because the gravitational pull of this planet that comes much closer to ours than the sun. And the gravitational pull could make the sea waves up to 100, 500 feet high, pounding the coastal cities and the coastways of the world. Verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We know it's only going to be temporary until this planet gets by, but planet Earth is going to be a pretty rotten place to exist upon after that. That's why Jesus Christ will have to return to restore all things. Because if he didn't come to restore it, there would no flesh be saved alive. What are we going to do about this? You and I, who seem to be ones across America that love the Word of God, no matter how fearful it seems to us, no matter how it may affect our lives, we seem to be the ones scattered around, and others who listen that want to know the truth. And if we want to know, that means we also should have that desire to fulfill in our lives whatever's necessary to be protected. God doesn't reveal these things to just everybody. If he did, everybody would seek to be protected. We saw a scripture back there where it says they'll hear, they won't get it. They'll see, it'll just go right over their heads. They won't have any spiritual understanding. So who is it that God is opening their mind to these things? I'm looking at a handful in comparison to others. But God is going to protect. What should we do about it then? Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Because we are the ones that for some reason God is allowing us to understand the things that are coming, and yet he told us, fear not. Don't fear. And so we look around and say, now, wait a minute. I see a planet coming and it's dragging asteroids. It's going to hit the Earth. And 10% of the population is going to survive. And I'm not to be anxious or fearful in any way. It's what Jesus said. In Philippians 4, starting in verse 6. Through 8. Be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so if we're going to have peace, if we're not going to be anxious because we know that our Savior called us. We know that we could not understand the things that are being said unless the Holy Spirit revealed them to us. 1 Corinthians 2, 7-16 says so. If we know that we have been called of God, we can believe the Scriptures. We're not to be careful, over anxious. We're not to be worried, because He is going to stamp His approval on a group of people. Finally, brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true. This is the lifestyle we should be living this moment in time. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and that's a refinement of our character, and if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, only think on the things that are above, and understand that God is fulfilling prophecy to show His greatness. He has selected us to understand. We don't have the eyes that can't see, the ears that can't hear. We understand. So we can let the love of God overflow in our life to build one another up and prepare for these things, so that when they come, we can look up, because our salvation draws nigh. You know, Jesus talked to the seven churches on paper in Revelation 2 and 3. He didn't come out and verbally talk to them, just like He's not verbally talking to us today. He sent a former redhead to do that. But as long as he reads the words and expounds them properly and correctly, then Jesus will be pleased with our hearing them. He gave us and each one of the churches the key. He said in Revelation 2:7, Revelation 2:11, Revelation 2:17, Revelation 2:26, Revelation 3, verse 5, verse 12, and verse 21. To all seven of the churches, he says, to him or that individual that has my spirit, that overcomes. That's the person that he's looking for. That's what we're doing here. Nothing else. We're here to be overcomers so that the living Jesus Christ will say, well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter you into the joys of the Lord. And it will be a joy, because He will guide us through all of these things. No matter how horrifying something seems to us, if Jesus Christ's words are valuable, and if they are honest, and they are of good report to our mind, then nothing is going to cause fear in our life. We'll rejoice to know the truth, because our salvation's drawing closer. That's the whole purpose of it. Jesus, remember, as I mentioned in Revelation 3:10, said that He would keep us out of contact from the hour of temptation that's going to come upon all the world. He means it. He died. He was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He proved He was the Savior. He proved He had a Heavenly Father who is God, because He brought Him from the dead. And therefore, since he didn't lie to us about the only sign that he would give to anyone at any time period that reads this Bible, that he was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, dead, and that he would come out and be a living Savior, not a dead one. That means whatever he's inspired for us, we can believe it. My last scripture, Psalms 91, verse 1 to 11. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the Norsemen pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler, and that's what we're after, his truth. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night. No, if Planet X goes by and you hear noisy activities outside, God will take care of you if he sealed you. If you've been accounted worthy to escape all of these things, you have no fear. Nor for the arrow that flies by night, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness. And we know such havoc's going to come with a breakdown of the food system, distribution system. There will be disease epidemics. Nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. We believe that, don't we? We do, don't we? Why would we be here if we didn't believe that? God means every word that he says. If your heart and your mind is seeking the kingdom of God, no man, no woman, no unseen spirit being, no evil spirit, nothing should be able to take you from the love of God, and it won't. The only way that you could come out from under the love of God is if you or I choose of our own voluntary will not to recognize demonic attacks in our life. Others being sent by the unseen spirits of this world to cause us to stumble. As long as we're faithful in every way, then nothing, except with your eyes you will behold the reward of the wicked. Nothing will happen to you because you have a living Savior whose every word is written under the inspiration of his Spirit. And when he says, you will only see these things with your eyes, but nothing will happen to you, he means them. You and I are going to be the most rejoiceful people, because when the rubble clears and the new world order comes and those come out from under their underground cities and they are going to set up their world government, their electronic surveillance society of the numbers that are left for the last 3.5 years, you and I will be protected. God is good. God is great. I used to say that when I was a little child before I went to bed at night. How true it is. But God is looking for people to bestow his love upon. He's looking for people with a heart so he can protect. I think that I have found a group of people that are just the ones he's looking for. In verse 11, he says this, for he, this is Jesus Christ and God our Father, shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Praise God, and I thank Jesus Christ for loving us.